Magandang araw po sa inyong lahat. Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series of the Book of Job, Suffering and the Sovereignty of God. The Book of Job is about an all-good and all-wise and all-sovereign God who ordained trials and sufferings to fall to His people. It is a book that magnifies the sovereignty of God over all creation, over all circumstances, and this God deserves to be worshipped. Sa chapters 1 and 2, pinakilala po sa atin si Job, isang mama na may takot sa Diyos, a worshiper of Yahweh, a blameless believer. But this man suffered series of heartbreaking losses sa buhay niya. Pinahintulutan ng Diyos si Satan to afflict his life. So lahat ng mga means ng kanyang livelihood were either stolen or destroyed. His children, yung sampu niyang anak, sabay-sabay pumanaw. His fame and his fortune were all no more. His health was failing him. He is starting to deteriorate. Butot balat na siya. Nabubulok na ang kanyang laman. Nangingitim na po ang kanyang balat. At inuuod na po ang kanyang buong katawan. And yet, despite all of these afflictions, despite all of this pain and suffering, Job did not curse God. Maring rek na rek na si Job, pero nanatili ang kanyang pananampalataya. Job kept his faith. Ngunit, ang mga oras na nagdaan ay naging araw. Mga araw, naging linggo. Ang mga linggo ay naging buwan. At ilang buwan na po nagdudusa si Job. Ilang buwan na po iniinda ni Job ang paghihirap na ito. At tila baga walang pagbabago nangyari. At ayon sa chapter 7 verse 3, ito po ang kanyang pagkabigkas ng kanyang nararamdaman. Buhay ko'y wala ng kahulugan. Sa paglipas ng buwan, at tuwing sasapit ang gabi, ako'y nagdadalamhati. Last week, nakita po natin si Job who is suffering by himself. Sinamahan ng kanyang mga kaibigan. Itong mga kaibigan niya ito ay nakikidalamhati po sa kanya, sympathizing with them because they care about Job and they're concerned about Job's situation. Nung nadinig ni Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, ang lahat ng mga pahinakit ni Job, they started to become frustrated. And because of that, they started to speak their minds. Nagsimula na po sila magsalita sa chapter 4. Mga kaibigan, kung meron kayong mahal sa buhay o kapatira na nakakaranas ng intense pain and suffering, anong sasabihin mo? O paano kung ikaw ang nakakaranas ng intense pain and suffering? How would you respond to others? How would you respond to God? Well, in times of intense suffering, learn to trust God even when we don't understand. Yan po yung main point natin ngayong araw na ito. In times of intense suffering, learn to trust God even when we don't understand. We only have 2 points ngayong araw na ito. Number one, Job's counselors. And number two, Job's confidence. Now, in the next 33 chapters, meron magaganap na series of dialogue between Job and itong kanyang mga kaibigan. We're going to look at a huge portion ng libro na ito, pero hindi po natin ito aaralin ng chapter by chapter or verse by verse kagaya ng ating nakagawian. Instead, we will look at it in a bird's eye view or in a panoramic view na kung saan ibibigyan natin ng konting overview yung mga passage na aaralin natin ngayong araw na to. Now, just to give us an idea kung saan tayo papunta sa ating passage, let me give yung structure po ng Book of Job. So, chapters 1 and 2, ang Book of Job starts with a clear narrative. Then after a time of mourning ni Job has been completed, pagdating po sa chapter 3, Job starts to lament. Tapos pagdating naman ng chapters 4 hanggang 37, ito'y mga series na mga poetic dialogues between Job at ang kanyang mga kaibigan. Kung kahati-hatiin po natin yung dialogue po na ito into sections o yung tinatawag na cycles, ganito po ang itsura nun. Sa first cycle or first round, nahahati ito sa chapters 4 hanggang 14. Yung cycle 1 na ito, nagsalita si Eliphaz, sumagot si Job. Nagsalita naman si Bildad, sumagot ulit si Job. Nagsalita naman si Zophar, tapos nagsalita naman ulit si Job, sumagot siya. Now, sa second cycle, ay chapter 15 hanggang 21, naulit muli ang succession ng sagutan po na ito. Pero this time, mas naging marahas ang pakikipag-usap ng mga kaibigan ni Job sa kanya. At si Job naman ay naging bitter and even defensive. Pagdating naman sa third cycle, chapters 22 hanggang 31, naulit muli ang sagutan na ito, pero this time, mas umigsi at mas naging intense. At so far, ay nanahimik na lang po. At alamin natin mamaya kung bakit. Tapos nung hindi na makasagot yung tatlo kay Job, may ika-apat na kaibigan si Job na lumitaw na si Elihu. Si Elihu ay mas bata kaysa sa tatlo niyang kaibigan at pinagalitan siya si Job at yung tatlo niyang kaibigan. Matatagpuan po ito sa chapters 32 hanggang 37. Tapos pagdating naman po natin sa chapters 38 to 41, ang Diyos naman ang nagsalita po dito. He concluded all dialogues sa kanyang mga sinabi. And then pagdating sa chapter 42, dito ho ulit bumalik sa clear narrative para in chapter 1 and in chapter 2. Pero para sa araw po na ito, we will be focusing ngayon yung gitna. Okay? So yung gitnang portion po ang ating pag-usapan. So let's jump immediately sa ating point number 1. Job's counselors. Sa last part ng chapter 2, we see Job's friends ministering to him with their presence and with their silence. Pero pagdating po sa chapter 4, onwards, nagsimula na pong magsalita ang mga kaibigan ni Job. They now move from silence to speaking, from compassionate sympathizing to critical speculation. Job was bombarded with unsolicited advice and harsh accusations galing sa kanyang mga kaibigan. At sa buong 33 chapters ng palitan po ng dialogue, isa lang ang sinasabi ng kanyang mga kaibigan kay Job. Isa lang ang kanilang pinupunto at ito yung kanilang theology ng suffering. If I may rephrase yung kanilang sinasabing paulit-ulit, ito po ang tunog niyan. Job, the reason why Job is suffering is because he is in sin. God is punishing him for it and he deserves it. Yun po yung paulit-ulit na binabato nila kay Job sa lahat ng mga chapters na ito. Silipin natin ang tatlong rounds ng dialogue na ito, itong mainit na balitaktakan between Job at ang kanyang kaibigan. So, umpisan po natin sa first cycle, o sa unang round. At babasahin po natin yung chapter 4, verses 1 hanggang 8. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 8. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "If one ventures a word with you, will you be impatient? Yet who can keep from speaking? Behold, you have instructed many and you have strengthened the weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have made him from the feeble knees. But now it has come to you and you are impatient. It touches you and you are dismayed. Is it not your fear of God, your confidence, and the integrity of your ways, your hope? Remember, who that was innocent ever perished? Or where were the upright cut off? As I have seen, those who plow iniquity sow trouble, reap the same." Ano sinasabi ni Eliphaz po dito? Ito po ang sinasabi ni Eliphaz po dito. Job, hindi mangyayari sa iyo to kung wala kang ginawang mali, kung hindi ka nagkasala. Tama lang nararanasan mo itong mga ganitong klaseng paghihirap dahil may ginawa kang mali. Yun ang sinasabi po ni Eliphaz dito. Sinundan pa ko niya ng chapter 5, verse 17. Sabi niya, "Behold, blessed is the one whom God reproves. Therefore, despise not the discipline of the Almighty." Itong sinasabi po niya kay Job, Job, alam mo, palo yan eh. Pinapalo ka ng Panginoon. Pinapalo ka ng Diyos. Kaya ang yun ang dahilan kung bakit nawala lahat ng pagpapala mo kasi palo yan sa'yo. As a matter of fact, maganda yan para sa'yo. Maganda yan para sa'yo, Job. Tapos, mas matindi naman ang sinabi ho ni Bildad. Tignan nyo ang chapter 8, verse 3 to 4. Ito ang sinabi ni Bildad. Does God prevent justice? Or does the Almighty prevent the right? If your children have sinned against Him, He has delivered them into the hand of their transgression. Alam niyo ba yung sinasabi ho ni Bildad dito? Mamamangha ho kayo eh. Ang sinasabi niya, Job, kung walang ginawang kasalanan ng mga anak mo, di sana hindi sila patay ngayon eh. Malamang may ginawa silang mali at tama lang yung nangyari sa kanila yon. Amazing, isn't it? Si Job ay totoong tatay. Just imagine kung anong naramdaman ni Job nung natinig po niya yun. Ang sinasabi niya rito ay mabigat. Kung ikaw ang magulang at narinig na sinabi sa iyo ito, malamang nagpantig po ang tenga ninyo. This was so insensitive. Kung titingnan po natin yung konteksto neto, kakalibing lang ni Job nang sabay-sabay ang kanyang sampung anak. Tapos ito pa ang kanyang matitinig. Siyempre, hindi rin nagpahulit si Zophar. Ito ang sinabi niya sa chapter 11, verse 4 to 6. Babasahin ko sa magandang balita Biblia. Ipinipilit mong tamang iyong paniniwala at sa harap ng Diyos ikay malinis na lubos? Magsalita sana ang Diyos upang ikay masagot, upang masabi sa iyo ang mga lihim ng karunungan sapagkat napakalalim ng kanyang kaalaman, parusa nga niya sa iyo mas maliit kaysa sa kasalanan, sa iyong kasalanan. Abay, matindi rin itong mamang ito magbitaw. Ang sinasabi ng mamang ito, Job, wala pa yan. Hindi pa nga sapat yan eh. Buti nga yan yung natanggap mo eh. Ang totoo niyan, you even deserve worse. Tapos sa verse 10 to 12, sinabihan pa niya si Job, na Job, you're a fool. Isa kang hangal. Man, kaibigan ba talaga ni Job ito? Let's go to round 2. The dialogue gets uglier. Sabi ni Eliphaz sa chapter 15 verse 4, Job, wala ka talagang takot sa Diyos. Sa chapter 15 verse 14, so Job, ang sinasabi mo, hindi ka nagkakasala. So they were mocking him. They were challenging him in the wrong way. Of course, Job knows na nagkakasala siya. He even admits it sa chapter 7 verse 20. Ang sinasabi po ni Job, that he's saying that he is innocent sa kanilang mga accusations. Yun ang sinasabi ni Job. Ito pa ang sinabi ni Eliphaz sa chapter 15 verse 20. Job, ang mga taong gumagawa ng masama ay nagdudusa. Gaya ng dinaranas mo kasi masama kang tao. Wow. Ulit sinundan ni Bildad sa chapter 18 verse 5. Indeed, the light of the wicked is put out and the flame of his fire does not shine. Jump to verse 8. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walks on its mesh. Verse 21, surely such are the dwellings of the unrighteous. Such is the place of him who knows not God. Ano mo ba kung anong sinasabi niya kay Job dito? Ang sinasabi ni Bildad dito, Job, sa tingin ko hindi ka mananampalataya eh. Kasi kung tunay ka na mananampalataya, puro pagpapala nga abutin mo. Yung nararanasan mong yung paghihirap na yan, yan ang mga nararanasan ng mga hindi mananampalataya. Of course, nag-pushback ko si Job dyan sa chapter 21 na sinabi niya may mga masasamang tao na kung saan nagiging prosperous din ang kanilang buhay. Anong sagot mo doon? Wala siyang nasagot doon. Ito naman ang hirit ni Zophar sa chapter 11, verse 4 to 6. Do you not know this from of old, since man was placed on earth, that the exalting of the wicked is short, and the joy of the godless but for a moment, though his height mount up to the heavens and his head reach to the clouds, he will perish forever like his own dung. Thus, those who have seen him will say, where is he? Sinasabi naman po rin so far dito, Mabilis ang laho ng prosperity mo, Job, kasi nabibilang ka sa mga masasamang tao. Round 3. Bagamat mas maiksi po itong cycle na ito, mas maiksi itong round na ito, pero mas matindi ang ginawa ni Eliphaz ng pagsaslander po dito kay Job. Basahin niyo sa chapter 22 verse 5 to 11. Is not your evil abundant? There is no end to your iniquities. For you have exceeded pledges of your brothers for nothing and stripped the naked of their clothing. You have given no water to the weary to drink, and you have withered bread from the hungry, withheld bread to the hungry. The man with power possessed the land, and the favored man lived in it. You have sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless were crushed. Therefore, snares are all around you, and sudden terror overwhelms you, or darkness so that you cannot see, and a flood of water covers you. At sinabi naman ni Bildad, si Bildad dito patuloy na dinidiin kay Job na hindi siya inosente. Huwag ka magmalais, inosente rito, Job. Hindi ka biktima rito. Ikaw ay guilty. Iyon ang sinasabi po niya rito sa chapter 25 verse 4. Kasi kung matuwid ka, maayos ka sa harapan ng Diyos, pagpapalain ka niya. Sa round 3, pinili na lang manahimik ni Zophar po dito. Gawa ng alam niya na hindi niya kaya makumbinsi si Job sa kanyang katuwiran, mga katuwiran. Marami pang mga akusasyon ang binato ng mga mama na ito kay Job, pero hindi na po natin tatalakayan ng lahat ng ito. Lahat ng mga akusasyon na ito ay mali at walang puweba. Kasi ang Diyos na mismo ang nagsabi na si Job fears God, that he is blameless, upright, and turns away from evil. So, wala akong binabanggit, yung mga binanggit nila rito na ginagawa ni Job ay wala naman nabanggit sa heavenly conversation ng Diyos at ni Satan. So, ano pwede natin, mga kaibigan, matutunan sa mga quote-unquote counselors ni Job po dito? Let me mention two. Unang-una, and this is practical, be careful in choosing your friends. Be careful in choosing your friends. Choose the people you are trusting your heart and life with. According kay Pastor John Fulmer, pastor ng UCCD, with friends like these, who needs enemies? Be careful in choosing your friend. Ikalawa, be considerate when addressing the hurting. Be considerate when addressing the hurting. Job's friends, in their attempts to comfort and confront him, ended up hurting him even more. Part of it is probably because they're insensitive. Totoo din naman po ito sa ating mga Kristiyano, hindi po ba? Sa ating kagustuhan na maabot ang isang kapatiran o yung mahal natin sa buhay, na kung saan may pinagdadaanan na pain and suffering or going through hardship, sometimes we end up hurting them even more through our words and our actions. Alam ko sa season o sa panahon natin ngayon, napakamarami nating kapatiran at mahal sa buhay na may pinagdadaanan pong paghihirap. Iba't ibang klaseng hurts and hardships. And because of that, I want to be practical po sa part 2 by giving us a few basic tips in ministering to the hurting. Unang-una sa lahat, when you're ministering to the hurting, minister through your presence. Minister through your presence. When I was pastoring back in the Philippines, I received a phone call of a member who na kailangan ng bisitain because she was really, really sick. So habang papunta po ako sa hospital, I was meditating kung anong pwede ko sabihin. What profound and edifying words ang pwede ko sabihin sa member namin ito. So when I got to the hospital, when I entered the room, maraming takot, nag-iiyakan sila. And when I approached her, I saw her and there she was, lying on her bed, lifeless. I didn't know what to say. I got nothing to say. Lahat ng mga gusto ko sabihin, lahat lumipad sa aking isipan. And then I wept. And wept. Knowing na hindi namin makakasama ang aming sister sa Panginoon sa lifetime na ito. I left that room a little bit discouraged. I felt bad sa aking sarili because I should have said something encouraging sa family. Pero it turns out na nakiiyak pa ako sa kanila. So yung isang gabi sa wake ng former member namin ito, there were a lot of people, and doon nakita ko yung kanyang asawa nakikipagkwentuhan sa bisita, and I overheard yung kanyang sinasabi, and part of his story sounded like this. Binisita kami ni Pastor at yun, we were really encouraged because we were all crying together sa pagkawala ng aking asawa. I was surprised. In my presence and in my silence, I ministered without even knowing. Interestingly, ito ang sinasabi ni sa Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Job's friends visited him nung time ng tragic losses ni Job. They sat with him. They cried with him in silence. Job's friends were doing a great job till they opened their mouths. Friends, when ministering to the hurting, let us enter to their grief. Let us enter their sorrows. Let us sympathize with them. It's not about kung anong kailangan mo sabihin na profound, na theological, na maganda, na makakapagpukaw na kanilang damdamin. No. There's a time for that though. Pero according nga kay James, sa James chapter 1, verse 19, know this, my brothers, my beloved brothers, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak. Bagamat limitado po tayo sa panahon natin ngayon because of the COVID-19 phenomenon, magiging limitado po tayo sa ating mga physical interaction. So if you want to minister with your presence right now, limit natin po ito by just messaging them, call them, encouraging them, tell them that you heard about their situation, tell them that you're praying for them, pray for them over the phone. Or maybe siguro, you have to delay yung pag-message mo sa kanya. Maybe you have to delay yung pagtawag mo sa kanya. Baka na-overwhelm na din siya sa dahil na nagre-reach out sa kanya, and this person probably needed space. So minister through your presence. Second, minister through your words. Minister through your words. Sometimes we want to say things out of our good intentions, pero minsan we end up saying unkind words. Sometimes just to keep things lighten up a little bit, we throw a little jokes that are really inappropriate, and sometimes even nakakasakit pa ng todo. Job's friends said unkind words to him and accused him of wrongdoing during sa time ng kanyang mourning. Amazing. Mga kaibigan, maging maingat at maging mabagal po tayo sa pag-interpret ng kalagayan ng isang kapatiran o mahal sa buhay na may pinagdadaanan na mabigat na sitwasyon. Be intentional, be sensitive, and edifying sa mga pwede nating sabihin. I remember when I was a young Christian, I was hospitalized due to my asthma sa Pilipinas. And I have a few Christian friends of mine who visited me who wanted to encourage me. I know they meant well sa kanilang mga sinabi. Pero ang totoo niya, nung umalis sila, wala po akong nakuhang encouragement sa kanila. Na bakit po? Kasi ang madalas kong madinig na sinasabi nila is this. Naku Brad, palo yan. Isuko mo na yan kung ano mang yan. Palo yan galing sa Panginoon. They could be true there though. They could be true. Pero it was hard to hear sa time na yon, dahil sa kanilang timing at sa kanilang kapamamaraanan. At that time, it doesn't feel loving. Friends, remember, truth should be told, yes. But it should be spoken with love. Now, kapag dumating ang time na ready na makipag-usap at makinig ang ating kaibigan o mahal sa buhay o kapatiran sa Panginoon, ready na siya i-open up ang kanyang situation, ready na siya makinig, I encourage you to speak gospel truths. That Christ is our refuge in times of need. That God's grace is sufficient for him or for her sa time na ito. And we need to be edifying a brother and sister by using God's words, by reminding them of gospel truths. Minsan naman, dahil sa sobrang pagiging sensitive natin at natatakot tayo, ma-offend natin sila, hindi na talaga tayo magsasalita. At dahil dun, we have missed out ministering God's word sa mga kapatiran na ito. I encourage you, be bold. Be kind. Be considerate sa mga sasabihin mo. Be loving. Be gracious. Be sharing the truth that we have in Christ. Share the hope that we have in Christ. We minister to our presence. We minister to our words. Third, we also minister through our actions. Let's minister through our actions. A suffering and hurting person sometimes are overwhelmed at hindi alam ang uunahin niya. So let us be quick to think of practical ways of helping a loved one or a brother and sister in Christ kapag sila may dinagdadaanan na kabigatan. Na-witness ko po ito this week. This week, nung nabalitaan po ng mga members na si Kuya Ronnie Sampang ay nag-positive sa COVID-19 test, I'm so encouraged kasi agad-agaran kumilos yung ating mga members. I praise God how they were intentionally, with love, were reaching out sa kanyang family. I praise God for Amita Marukun and Edgy Lorbes who coordinated and ordered and organized lahat ng mga grocery supplies na kailangan ng pamilya to for 2 weeks and sent them mismo sa kanilang flat. I'm so encouraged kay Kuya Elmer at Ate Rosel Verdejo who volunteered to cook for them and even deliver their food sa kanilang flat. I'm so thankful sa initiative ni Kiko Manalo na sa hospital, dahil siya nagwo-work sa hospital, nakatulong po siya sa pag-schedule ng swab test sa asawa ni Kuya Ron na si Ate Ruby at sa kanilang anak na si Ron Riel. For the members who contributed financially, reached out to them with encouragement, and fervently prayed for them, I praise God for your lives. Thank you. At sa mga members who reached out kay Gemma Rizal, who is confined sa hospital, offering her encouragements, assistance, and prayers. This is but love in action. And I praise God. Don't stop, friends. Don't stop. Keep adorning the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hindi lamang sa mga kapatiran, but also to the watching world. Now, bakit na lang, balik tayo sa mga kaibigan ni Job, no? Bakit na lang ganun magsalita, ganun magbitaw ng salita ang mga kaibigan ni Job sa kanya? Well, ano ba ang kanilang paniniwala patungkol sa Diyos? Ano ba ang paniniwala nila patungkol sa suffering? At kung ano man ang paniniwala, tama ba ang kanilang paniniwala? So, let's look at that right now. Kasi yung kanilang response ay nanggagaling po yan talaga sa kanilang paniniwala. So let's review yung mga paniniwala ng mga kaibigan ni Job. Let us see what they believe about God. According sa mga kaibigan ni Job, they believe that God is sovereign over all and is in complete control of everything. Para sa mga kaibigan ni Job, walang aksidente na nangyayari sa buhay ng tao. Lahat ito ay inordain ng Panginoon. So ang tanong ko sa inyo, tama ba ito o mali? Ang sagot po niyan ay tama. Tama po. Psalm 115 verse 3. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. Next, naniniwala rin ng mga kaibigan ni Job that God is just. Since God is good, hindi niya pababayaan hindi maparusa ng mga makakasalanan. So ang tanong, tama ba ito o mali? Of course, ito'y tama. Tama po ito. God is holy, and in His holiness, His righteousness and holiness demands justice. Here's another one. Naniniwala sila that God treats people what they deserve. God treats people what they deserve. Now, this is kind of tricky. Ito po yung tinatawag na the law of sowing and reaping. Kapag ikaw ay nagkasala, parusa nga abuti mo sa Diyos. At kapag matuwid ka, pagpapalain ka naman niya. Big sin, big suffering. Big obedience, big prosperity. Kung hindi gagawin ng Diyos nito, then He is not just. A type of a cause and effect type of God. Okay? So ano po, ang tanong dito, does God treat His people what they deserve? Tama ba ito? Hindi. Ang sagot ay sometimes. Minsan. Minsan oo, minsan hindi. Oo, God can bring discipline sa kanyang mga anak kapag nagre-rebelde. But God does it not as punishment, but as an act of love through discipline. Sabi sa Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, "For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives." Friends, let me talk to you right now. If you're here today and you're going through a series of pain and suffering in your life, and you are probably in sin, maybe this is one way of God telling you to repent and trust God. What sins in your life right now kailangan mo nang isuko? Kailangan mong ihingi ang tawad? Kailangan mong talikuran? In God's love, He disciplines us because ayaw ng Panginoon na manatili po tayo dyan. So kung naman ang kailangan po natin isuko, isuko po natin. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, kailangan natin hayaan ang Panginoon na siya sa atin ang ating puso upang ipakita sa atin ang ating pagkakasala upang pagsisihan natin ito at magtiwala sa Kanya. So tama po, God can bring suffering to a believer when they are in sin, pero hindi parate. Minsan He shows His patience to the disobedient child in tangible ways. But to say that suffering, here's the thing, but to say that suffering shows that someone's sin is being punished by God is absolutely mali. Mali po yun. Itong dahilan kaya sinabi ng Diyos kay Job sa last chapters that God said, kung ano man ang sinabi ng kaibigan ni Job about him, ay mali. That's why Job needs to offer sacrifices. Dahil ito yung kinokorrect ng Panginoon sa kaibigan ni na Job. Job was a sinner, yes, but he was not in sin, so to speak. God has chosen to use Job's suffering for His own glory. God hates it when he is misrepresented. As a matter of fact, kung titingnan po natin yung mga pinagsasasabi ng mga kaibigan ni Job, may mga tama eh. Pero ang problema po ron, it was used in a wrong way. Friends, we need to be careful kasi parang kung pakikinggan natin sila, they sound like false teachers. Especially sa panahon natin ngayon, we need to be careful. This is a season of uncertainty, a season of fear, anxiety, a season of just being anxious and ang ginangyayari, sometimes we look for ways para makalma ang ating puso. Be careful in going to websites or listening to people na kung saan who promises health, wealth, and prosperity as long as you do something for God. Be careful kasi mali po yun. They will use the Bible, they will use the word gospel, they will use the word Jesus Christ, pero lahat yan ay may self-serving purposes. And we can be in danger na maligaw po sa mga false teachers na ito. Job's friends were not at all helpful, but had been hurtful, lalo na sa situation ni Job. Pero how was Job with all of these accusations? Mabibigat yung mga binitawan sa kanya. Kamusta na ang puso niya kaya rito? Dito makikita natin kung saan nakaangkla ang kumpiyansa or ang confidence si Job, which is yung last point natin, number 2. Job's confidence. Sa gitna ng matinding mga akusasyon, Job maintained his innocence. Tingnan natin kung paano nag-respond si Job sa kanyang mga kaibigan as we go through series of verses or chapters. Chapter 13, verse 4. As for you, you whitewash with lies. Worthless physicians are you all. And that you would keep silent, it would be your wisdom. Medyo nakakatawa yung sinabi ni Job po dito, sinasabi ni poor Job dito, kung nanahimik na lang kayo, may mas wisdom pa kayo kaysa na nagsalita kayo. Mga wala kayong silbi. Chapter 16, verse 2. I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Chapter 23, verses 2 to 7. Today also my complaint is bitter. My hand is heavy on account of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Verse 4. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? No, he would pay attention to me. There an upright man could argue with him, and I would be acquitted forever by my judge. Medyo, kung babagalan po natin ito, mabigat yung binitawan ng mamang ito. Job responds with bitterness. He is, in a way, addressing indirectly si God. Dito, ginagawa niya po, ay nilalagay niya, which is a very dangerous thing, nilalagay niyang sarili niya, ang position niya as judge over God. Job became judge instead of vice versa. He was charging God of wrongdoing. Dito, mga kaibigan, nagkasala si Job. Si Job ay nagkamali. At sa last part ng book na to, which is aralanin natin next week, God rebuked him because sa mga sinabi niyang ito. Job was still insisting na siya ay innocent sa mga accusations sa kanya. He held on sa kanyang innocence, which is he was innocent sa mga accusations sa kanya. Makita niya sa chapter 27, verse 2 to 6. Again, I need to give a disclaimer. Job is not being self-righteous by saying, hindi ako makasalanan. No, he did not say that. What he is saying is, yung mga binibintang niyo sa akin, wala, hindi ko ginawa yung mga yun. I'm innocent. Now, nang nakakamangha dito sa mama na ito, ay sa kabila ng pagkamatay ng sabay-sabay ng sampu niyang anak, pagkawala ng kanyang pangkabuhayan, pagkawala lahat ng kanyang mga ngipin, nawala ang kanyang gana kumain, tinadtad siya ng boils mula ulo hanggang paa, okay? Inuud ang kanyang laman, kakaroon na siya ng mga hallucinations, he is in agonizing discomfort, he actually, may issue pa yung asawa niya sa kanya, ang issue ng asawa sa kanya, which is yung asawa niya finds offensive, is yung bad breath niya. Hindi natin alam kung halitosis po ito o basta yung hingaho niya ay hindi kaya-aya. Which his wife finds offensive. Makikita niyo pa rin sa chapter 19, verse 17. Ang kanyang mga tauhan despised him at hindi na sumusunod sa kanya. Ang kanyang mga kamag-anak at mga kaibigan rejected him. Kinalimutan na siya. Tapos idagdag pa natin ang mga maling akusasyon sa kanya. And then his constant wrestle with doubt. Pero despite of all of this, itong nakakamangha rito, he did not curse God. He continued trusting the goodness of God. He kept his faith in God. As he faced all these intense suffering, Job persevered. Job was commended by James in the New Testament as the model of how to suffer well. Tingnan po natin in James chapter 5, verse 11. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Job kept the faith. Hindi niya nauunawaan kung anong ginagawa ng Diyos, Pero he continued trusting him anyway. Look at chapter 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Yet I will argue my ways to his face. Job kept trusting God in the midst of his suffering, and he will keep trusting God kahit kurinan ng Diyos ang kanyang buhay. Amazing. Amazing. Gusto pati ni Job, of course, ilaban ang kanyang kaso sa Panginoon, pero in Job's mind, ang Diyos ay Diyos. He is still a good God. He is still a sovereign God. He is still a just God. Chapter 19, verse 23 to 25. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last day will stand up upon the earth. For Job, though God was silent, it doesn't mean that he is absent. He believes that his God is his Redeemer, his Savior. And in the last days, he believes he shall see his God face to face. Job was confident that pagdating ng time na kaharapan ng Diyos, there will be a mediator. A mediator will come between him and God, as mentioned in chapter 16, verse 9. Mga kaibigan, sa kalagitnaan ng paghihirap at sakit na dinaranas mo ngayong oras na ito, kamusta na ang pananampalataya mo sa Panginoon? Malamig ba? Nanghihina ba? Nakakaramdam ka ba ng pagtatampo sa Kanya? Mga kaibigan, kung naniniwala ka na ang Diyos ay mabuti, na alam ang kanyang ginagawa, and with all the wisdom and might, sovereignly allowed suffering and pain sa buhay mo, my question is this, are you still willing to trust God in the midst of all these sufferings, even though you do not understand? Friends, keep trusting God, even if you don't understand. In chapter 32, verse 1 to 6, we are introduced to a new character. Job's fourth friend, ang pangalan niya ay si Elihu. Si Elihu ay may sixth chapter na speech. Halos magkakahawig ang sinasabi niya sa tatlong kaibigan ni Job, pero malaki ang pagkakaiba niya kumpara sa mga kaibigan ni Job. Kasi ang pagkakaiba niya is this, hindi sinasabi ni Elihu na ang suffering na dinaranas si Job ay dahil sa ginawa niyang kasalanan. No, hindi yun ang kanyang argument. Elihu believes na may kategorya na, may certain type of suffering na ang tinatawag na innocent suffering. A certain category of innocent suffering na nangyayari sa mundo na ito. Si Elihu ay naniniwala that God sometimes speaks the language of pain. Tingnan niyo po yun sa chapter 39, verse 19. Basahin ko sa Magandang Balita Biblia. Pinadadalhan niya ang tao ng iba't ibang sakit upang sa pamamagitan ng kirot ang tao'y maituwid. Ayon po kay Elihu, ginagamit po ng Panginoon ang pain and suffering in order to humble and preserve Job from destruction. Hindi dahil si Job ay nagkakasala laban sa Diyos, he did not turn to sin, Job turns away from sin. Job was a blameless man, a godly man. And that's the reason why God ordained yung suffering ni Job. Upang patatagin ang pananampalataya ni Job. Job is going through all of this suffering not because tamang accusation sa kanya na ginawa niya mali. No, because he was faithful. Because he was godly. And friends, let us be encouraged kasi kung gano'n ang nangyayari sa atin ngayon, then we are true believers and followers of Christ. Kasi sabi nga ni Jesus Christ, in this world, you will face suffering. Friends, for those of us who are followers of Christ, suffering can be good for our souls. It can bring us back to the brink of destruction to strengthen our faith. Yan po ginagawa ng suffering sa atin. It first leads us to question God, throw accusations probably against Him, wrestle even with doubt, but in such a way that leads us to repentance and not rebellion. That leads us to humble ourselves before Him and deepen our trust in Him. At yan po ang case ni Job. At marahil na ito din ang case mo ngayong oras na ito as you face trials and hardships sa buhay mo. Kung ikaw ay isang mananampalataya na may pinagdadaanan ng mabigat na pagsubok sa iyong buhay, kapatandaan po natin that God is not against you. Ang fundamental truth ng gospel ay matatagpuan po sa Romans chapter 8 verse 1 na ang sinasabi, kaya nga wala nang kahatulang parusa sa mga taong nakipag-isa na kay Kristo Jesus. Your suffering is not because God is against you. Well, Pastor, ano po ang ibig sabihin ng pain and suffering na pinagdadaanan ko ngayon? Ano po ang ibig sabihin ng pain and suffering na pinagdadaanan ng pamilya namin ngayon? So, ano po ba ang sinasabi ng Panginoon patungkol dito? Di ba, bakit si Job? Di ba si Job may specific dito? How about us? Well, Job, yes. We have Job's book. But we don't have your book. I don't have my book. As a matter of fact, Job doesn't even know yung nangyayaring heavenly conversations sa chapter 1 and 2. Hindi niya alam ang nangyayari ng time na yun. Listen, there is no personalized chapter 1 and 2 na pwede natin mabasa patungkol sa buhay mo. But, here's what we know. There are two general truths why God sends pain and suffering sa buhay ng isang mananampalataya. First of all, God sends us suffering for our good. It's for our good. It strengthens our faith, gaya ni Job, by humbling and sanctifying us, reminding us of our true source of joy, true source of hope, true source of strength, true source of solace, at yan po ay si Christ alone. That causes us to raise our affections toward Jesus and deeper our dependence on Him. Suffering is a means of grace by which God matures His children. According to Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into the hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God sends sufferings, nagpapadala ng paghihirap at sakit, sakuna sa ating buhay kasi ito'y para sa ikabubuti po natin. Ikalawa, God sends us sufferings for His own glory. Fundamentally, for His own glory. Maring hindi natin alam ngayon kung paano ginagamit ang Panginoon ang paghihirap natin para sa ikaluluwalhati niya. But like Job, we have to trust Him and persevere despite na hindi natin alam. The ultimate goal ng sovereign plan ng Panginoon sa mundo na ito, both good and bad sa ating buhay, ay for His glory alone. Job is a wisdom literature. This literature generally says, like in Proverbs, you will generally reap what you sow. You will generally reap what you sow. Ngunit, may exemption po sa rule na ito. At ano po ang exemption? The exemption is this. It's Job. Job is the exemption. Ang mga kaibigan ni Job ay hindi matanggap na wala siyang tinatago na kasalanan. Paniwalang paniwala sila na siya'y may ginagawang mali at guilty si Job. Wala silang kategory o hindi sila naniniwala sa salitang innocent suffering, which is yun talaga ang tunay na case ni Job. Now, si Eliphaz, when Eliphaz asked Job a rhetorical question sa chapter 22 verse 4, itong tinanong niya, "Is it for your fear of him that he reproves you and enters into judgment with you?" Well, what he really is saying is this, walang tao na may takot sa Diyos at mamumuha ng may kabanalan na nakakaranas ng intense suffering. Kung tunay ka na anak ng Diyos at namumuhay ng may kabanalan, hindi pwedeng mangyari sa iyo yung paghihirap na yan. Yun ang tanong niya sa chapter 22 verse 4. But ang sagot po dyan is yes. Yes, meron. Meron person na kung saan na innocent sufferer. And yun po'y si Job. Now friends, could it be that the author of Job intentionally highlighted Job's innocent suffering to point to us the truly innocent one who suffered, that through his suffering, God would get the glory? The book of Job makes no sense if it ends with the book of Job, because the book of Job is part of a greater story on how God is addressing sin, how God is addressing suffering and pain in this fallen world. So when Eliphaz asked the question, the whole Bible answers it. The whole Bible points to one person, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truly innocent man. But unlike Job, he lived a sinless life. He was perfectly righteous. Like Job, he was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like Job, Jesus was harshly accused of sins that he did not commit. People shout at him, "He deserves to suffer. Crucify him." And on that cross, Jesus bore our sin and shame and experienced the ultimate suffering of all, the full, undiluted wrath of God poured out to him in our place. Jesus is the truly upright one that is cut off. He is the truly innocent one who endured innocent suffering in the place of guilty sinners like you and me. Jesus died for us, and God raised him from the dead on the third day. So we can say with Job, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Jesus is the mediator that Job wants to meet. Friends, listen, Jesus is the only mediator that you and I need to meet. Jesus suffered and died for us so that God would not treat us as our sins deserved. Friends, this is the wonderful news. This is the wonderful news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I urge you, friends, talikuran mo na ang kasalanan mo. Pagsisihan mo na ang kasalanan mo. Kamunghian mo na ang kasalanan mo. Transfer your allegiance from a life of sin. And by trusting yung ginawa ni Jesus Christ on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, repent and believe in Jesus Christ for your salvation, for your forgiveness, for your restoration, for your reconciliation sa Diyos Ama. Sufferings for Christians are ultimately designed for our greater good and for God's greater glory. Friends, like Job, let us suffer well. Let us suffer that brings honor and glory to God. And if I may use the words of Pastor John Piper, do not waste your suffering. Friends, if you are going to suffer, suffer that will make Christ look glorious, that would make Christ look satisfying, that would make Christ look attractive. In times of intense suffering, learn to trust God, even when we don't understand. Let us pray. Father, thank you because you have given us the grace to rejoice in times of suffering. Because we know that trials help us strengthen our endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confidence. Confident hope in you. We know that this hope will not put us to shame because your love has poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Dalangin namin, Panginoon, sa pagharap namin sa mga pagsubok at paghihirap, dalangin ko na ihanda mo ang aming puso, ihanda niyo po ang aming mga sarili. Pagkalooban niyo po kami ng sapat na grasya upang harapin ito, upang mabigyan po namin kayo ng kaluguran sa kalagitnaan ng paghihirap na ito. Father, help us not to be distracted by destructive enticements of this world, but to focus on things above, that we would fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our life. May we be marked by perseverance, by hope, and by joy because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.